Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and tonight we're on a screen, and sometimes we're not going to be because, like, the guest doesn't have a camera. That's one of the nights. So you're just listening to us today. Plus, that's highly experimental for us, so we'll be working with that. But the guest tonight is well worth listening to. Reverend Kenneth Roberts is a metaphysician, a vibrational healer and teacher who is a student of life, quantum physics and philosophy. He seeks out to help others in their spiritual life in the material world, which I'm not sure if you're going to want to continue that now. So anyway, this is Ken. We do have somebody who wants a reading, so we're going to go ahead and jump in on that. So we've got Carrie Ann from North Carolina. Are you there? By the way, hi, Ken. Come on in. Ken,
hi,
are you there?
Yeah, I sure am, Jen.
Okay.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, Jen.
Hey.
Hi.
Carrie Ann, what's your question?
I'd like to know if you see me finding permanent employment.
Could you say your full name for me three times, please?
Sure. Carrie Ann.
Your last name, too, Carrie Ann.
My last name, too. Carrie Ann Garcia.
Okay. And I'm not sure how we'll work this, so, Jen, whenever you have something you need
to
say, just
guess
jump
first.
In. I definitely do see you working again, but I see you working in a completely different field than what you've been used to. I'm seeing that there's changes going on, like possibly even a change in location in the next 6 months. So,
well, I am going to be moving. I'm probably still in the same city, but, you know, moving houses in January, so.
That's good. It looks to me like the type of work that you had been doing was actually not very fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And some of what you've been going through is like a change in the direction that you're really, really wanting to try and move towards happiness, which you weren't really happy, it doesn't look like, in this past job. And it looks like some of that is what's going to be going through this change. The new work that you're going to be doing has to be based in something that you're passionate about, something that you care about, or you're not going to find that fulfillment. There's a lot of changes going on an energetic level, on a global scale even, that are requiring us to get more in tune with our integrity of what our life purpose is. And that's some of what you're needing to shift your focus on. There's also some pictures that you've been almost focusing too much on the scarcity and lack and fear energy, whereas if you can shift that into a more positive state of thought, it'll start manifesting a lot faster. So I know it's a tough time financially, that there's a lot of different stresses that are coming down on you around being unemployed, but it really is about you finding something that you're very, very much interested in, something that excites you and inspires you to pursue as a work. The old work that you were doing, I'm not really looking at what it was, but looking at your energy, it was not fulfilling. It was like that day-to-day drudgery, and you had fallen into a cycle of get up, go to work, do the things you have to do at home, and then do it all over again. That's no longer working for you. You've got to find some way to bring more of your own heart, your own spirit, your own purpose into the work that you're doing and find fulfillment within yourself so that that work can manifest. Do you have anything you'd like to add, Jennifer?
I understand what you're saying.
Okay, I got a question for you, Carrie Ann. Do you know what your purpose is? Because I feel like you do.
I do. It's just that I'm not ready to do it.
Okay, I hate to tell you this. Too bad. You got to leap in anyway. I get fear around your purpose. Like, you're trying to put up a wall, and the universe is saying, if you're going to put up that wall, we're going to take everything away. So I'm really happy to say you don't have a choice, sweetheart. You really don't. You got to jump in and do this. It's scary, but you know what? It is a growing period for you in so many ways. So you got to let go of that fear. There's really nothing to fear. It's just an illusion, and you're holding yourself back. And think of the impact you're having on a lot of other people because you're not doing it. I mean,
it's not that I'm afraid, it's just that I'm not ready to do it right now.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. That's fear. I'm sorry. I pick up fear around you like a brick wall. I really do. And Spirit's going, she's got to get out of it. Sorry. You have to get more in integrity with yourself, as Ken said. And I know it's scary, and you don't think you're ready, but guess what? You really are. Sometimes you got to jump in, and everything, it's like learning on the way. And that's the kind of energy we have now, because you're really out of integrity of your heart, and that's why you're not finding anything. That's where you're exactly where you are. You created your situation at where you are, and you're wondering why Spirit isn't supporting you. You're not supporting Spirit. You took this sacred contract with them saying, yes, I will do this, and now you're saying, well, no, sorry, I'm not ready. Can you come back next year? And they're saying no. Today is 11/11. It is a giant porthole of where you want your life to be. So if you're setting the intentions of saying, I'm not ready, guess what? You're not going to, and you're going to continue to be in the cycle you're in now. Is that what you want, Carrie Ann?
Well, you've given me a lot to think about, Jen. I thank you for that, but I'm not sure I agree with you because there's always free will, you know?
Oh, there's definitely free will, but what I'm saying is, if you want to have the life you know you're supposed to have, Spirit's opening a door now. If you will have other windows of opportunity, but I'm telling you, until you go through that door, the pressure is going to get worse, not better. And I'm talking from experience because I've had several doors opening and I said I wasn't ready. Trust me, I am really, really wishing I had gone through that door. And now I have to. Spirit's saying, yeah, you got free will, but I know better.
Many times, too, Carrie Ann, we tend to put things off thinking that, well, it's not the right time yet. Situations are not perfect. And there is no such thing as that perfect time. A lot of times, we do have to just go ahead and take a leap of faith. And even if it's going to be a slower start on a financial level than what you're seeking, if you at least start it, other opportunities will open up to help supplement the income level because you are pursuing that mm-hmm. passion. You don't have to bring it to completion or fruition, but you definitely have to start the process with a deep and full commitment. I like to phrase things always from personal experience. And I myself have been unemployed for over 2 years now. And I had reached a point where I was definitely not doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I literally sat down one day and I said, Lord, I will give up everything I am, everything I have, and everything I do if you will just put my feet on a clear path that I can mm-hmm. move forward on. And as soon as I said that, I lost a job of several years. I lost a lot of status and control of my life. All in like one fell swoop, I lost my apartment, my car, everything seemed like it was crumbling around me. And it took me 2 years that I've been in this unemployed state to realize that my goal that I had always wanted to do was I have books that I have outlined, I've fleshed out some of them, and I just filed them away. And Spirit made it very clear to me just recently that I was waiting until I was older to write my books. And I looked in the mirror one morning and Spirit said, guess what? You're old enough. And it really is just about starting that process. As soon as I sat down and I started to write notes again and I started to flesh out some of my books that I wanted to write, immediately I saw changes in my life. I now have job opportunities opening up in Virginia, of all places, where I'm definitely going to be following my spirit, going to Virginia, writing my books, and doing some other work out there in the meantime. But it was that one act of putting my foot on the path that lets the next stepping stone be revealed. And as you need that support, as you're following your path, it will appear. It will manifest. So even if you're not going to bring it to fruition, if you're not ready to put it in full scale, if you invest some of your time and energy right now in the steps that are going to be required down the road, everything will start to open up for you.
Yeah, I had the same experience. In 2008, I was working on a phone line, and I had 2,500 clients. In a blink of an eye, every single one of them were gone because I wasn't writing. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. Now I made a deal with Spirit. I go, I need to support myself. I need to be able to do readings while I do my writing. Every time I start writing, the phone starts ringing. I gave my word to Spirit. As soon as I started working on what I was truly supposed to be doing, they support me.
Carrie-Anne,
thank you both because you've given me a lot to think about.
There is one more thing I'd like to discuss with you too, Carrie-Anne. I'm also seeing like a very deep depression energy, and it's not just from this recent times or the recent troubles. It's something that goes back, the roots of it really start about 8.5, 9 years ago. And there was something going on at that point that it started out as just not even something you would have defined as depression, but it's coloring the way you're viewing everything you're experiencing still. And if you can get to the root of that situation and clear some of this, like most people think of depression as, you know, like they show on TV where you just don't have energy and motivation, things like that. But it can also be a depression of your spirit where you're just not feeling like yourself all the time, feeling frustrated because you're in a cycle of repetitive action that's not improving or changing anything. What was going on around
that? That's so funny. That's about when I got married.
Okay. okay, well, let's take a look at that. How is this marriage? Is it a marriage of two equal partners that are supporting each other through trials, or do you feel more like you're mothering this person and it's leeching?
Yeah, definitely more mothering, definitely.
Yeah. What I'm seeing is like you, this is an infinite universe, but we tend to sometimes limit ourselves and feel like we only have so much energy that we can put out in any given day. And right now, especially, way more of your energy is going to make them feel okay, to keep them feeling strong and motivated. And it looks like there's some argumentative energy, irritation levels that are rising, and some resentment that's been building up on both sides that are going to take some really clear communication and some very clear decisions. Both of you need to make some changes right now, not just you. And this is definitely, well, for example, one of the things that was just becoming really clear to me is that there are things that you gave up in order to be in this relationship that at the time there was this overwhelming feeling of bliss and happiness and contentment, but it was short-lived. And that's where some of this resentment in your body and your energy is coming from. There are things that you put aside that perhaps it's time to pick up and take a look at again and reevaluate. Does this make sense to you?
It does. It does. A lot of it does.
Are there any other questions? Because I do sense that there's more than just the work that you want to know about.
Oh, I could talk to you all night. That's fine for now. I'm sure you have other callers. Thank you both for your time.
You're very welcome, Carrie-Anne.
Thank you. And know that I didn't mean to be so harsh, but Spirit was just like right there. And I just know that it was out of love and appreciation for who and what you are. And I really appreciate you listening and calling in.
And I appreciate your honesty.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
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 So, can our discussion is supposed to be distant. Now I can't even say it.
Demystifying mysticism?
Thank you.
I figured demystifying was a little bit easier than saying disambiguation of mysticism.
Yes. So the other was kind of a tongue twister as well. So let's go back a little bit. What is mysticism?
Well, on a lot of levels, mysticism is something that's been present in every single religious structure, going all the way back to the very beginning of time. And most people have a misconception, and they have what I call misaligned associations with that word even, mysticism. They immediately put it in this like box of the magician that pulls rabbits out of his hat, sleight of hand, or people that are laying on beds of nails, or swallowing swords. But really, mysticism is about having a divine experience and a divine connection within yourself, having a direct one-on-one experiential, experimental relationship with the divine and seeing how that divine acts within your life. And so many people get lost just because of associations with words, and they lose track that it's mysticism. When I talk about demystifying mysticism, I would like people to start to see that it's not about some mystery school. It's not about 30 years of study to become some mystic. You don't have to go on, you know, some huge retreat and go begin the process. It's about having every single day a little bit of time for just yourself to honor your own connection with the divine. And that divine can be God that you worship through your church. It can be the love energy of the Christ consciousness that you bring out in your day-to-day life, in your associations and connections with people. It's about finding a connection with your true self so that you know what your life purpose is, so you know what integrity for yourself truly is. A lot of times when we're trying to get something done in our lives, we end up getting lost on the issues of, well, is it going to supply my income? Is it going to, you know, is it going to be something for my family as well? When it really is about finding our own spiritual philosophy. And that's something that I think a lot of people are lacking. We've gotten away from having a personal philosophy for life, whether it's a religious philosophy and practice, or whether it's just a day-to-day practice and a philosophy. Like an example that I would use is, as a child, I was taught to read very, very early in life by my grandmother. And by the time I was 5, I was already reading full-length science fiction novels and started reading textbooks that were my dad's when he was going through med school. And I came to believe, and my philosophy at that point in time was, that reading was one of the most amazing tools, because if I could learn to read and I could read it, I could do it. So my philosophy at a very early age was, I'm only limited by the amount of time I spend educating myself. Even something as simple as that philosophy is what gives us a sense of self-confidence, self-empowerment, and the ability to get through sometimes very harsh conditions in our life experience. So the concept for me of demystifying mysticism is to literally throw out the word mysticism, throw out the concept of mystery schools, because those days are past. Now, the information that, you know, we've talked before about how, you know, it took us 30 and 40 years of life to come to these conclusions about our spiritual life and our spiritual beliefs. And, like, I have two teenage daughters that I can share with them a concept that I want to explain to them, and it took me 20 years to grasp, and they'll hear one sentence and go, oh, you mean like this? And they got it right away. That's what people need to get back to. A lot of people are feeling discontent in their lives or frustrated in their cycle, and really the only thing that's lacking is a little bit of a spiritual existence. Not just religiosity, but spirituality.
Right.
That's what it means for me.
Well, it's very interesting. Some other example is every morning going for a walk. You know, even if it's every morning doing yoga or exercise or taking 15 minutes before you get out of bed and just spending a little time quiet and content.
Right.
It is very, it really does not take, you know, 10, 15 minutes is not that much time, and it can make a world of difference. I recently was reading a book, a Tibetan Sleep and Dream, and a lot of people can't remember their dreams. Well, if you're being woken up by an alarm clock, you're breaking that cycle so you can remember your dreams. So if there's any way you can just do simple things like, okay, make sure, and just say this before you go to bed. I got in the habit of doing this, and I have no trouble. I say, okay, guys, I need to be up by this time. I am usually within 5 minutes of the time I set, and I always make it like 10 minutes before I really need to get out of bed so I can just lay still and listen and see what's going on within me. And I do remember my dreams more often because of that practice. And that's what they're saying in this book is, even those little simple things can help you really gain so much out of sleep, because in many ways, sleep is meditation.
Right. It's especially when you start to break it down in the scientific terms of reaching that REM state or theta wave. When we're in REM, our consciousness is expanded way beyond our physical limitations of our body. So
right.
it allows us to access a level of the universe or God or however somebody wants to term it that's beyond us yet very much a part of us. For myself even, like I was talking about the books that I've wanted to write, I constantly wake up from very, very vivid dreams and
mm-hmm.
write these incredible short stories, which I then outline. And one of these days, I'm going to sit down and write that book. And just recently, I started going, you know what? It's time to stop ignoring those and get back into a small practice of having a dream journal. These are the type of mystical tools that people think, you know, it's like I was saying, it's not mystical. It's simply a practice of self-awareness and consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
The whole purpose of mysticism is to become self-aware and acknowledge and accept the divine aspect of ourselves. for somebody to say the Lord created everything and then deny that they're a divine being, that they were created by the divine being with a purpose, is to deny their own spirituality. And it's simple little practices like a dream journal, taking 10 minutes before you get out of bed to visualize what you've got to do that day and how that conversation you have is going to go and
right.
how you're going to accomplish things. If somebody does that every day, eventually they will start to notice that the day starts going exactly the way they said it to be, because they're developing within themselves an understanding that creates and manifests with clarity what that intention was for their day. Mysticism, like I was saying, it's not some mystery school that only somebody with 30 years of experience can do. Every day we're experiencing. It's how we channel those experiences. For example, if I want to get up and meditate in the morning before I get out of bed, or get up and do some yoga to stretch my body for health reasons, it helps to build up that mind-body connection. And when those are in that connection, that's where we find our divine self. When we're no longer mm-hmm. being pulled by a physical desire to do this, and a mental desire to do that, and an emotional desire to do this, that's what's discombobulating our day. If we can get our emotions and our mental state and our physical body all on the same page, we manifest effortlessly. And it's, yes, it takes some time. It takes some dedication to whatever process it is you choose to do. But anybody can pick a simple little process. We were talking earlier, and I was discussing a friend that I had in high school with a long-distance runner. And she explained to me one time that when she first started running, she was exhausted, she was breathing hard, but that over a period of time, the more she ran, the farther she could run, the less exasperating it was for her. Eventually, she reached a point where one day she quit thinking about running. And she was just in that moment completely in her body, in her mind, and her emotions and spirit and everything were in line. And she ran a marathon the very next year. She didn't win, but she finished. She had never run more than 10 miles before she did that marathon. And she did it by reaching a meditative state in her running. Mm-hmm. We can do the same thing doing dishes, vacuuming the house, taking care of our kids, or doing our job at work. It's not about some mystical experience. It's about being fully conscious and aware in the moment that we're in, choosing what we think, how we feel, and what we believe. I refer a lot of times to functioning from spirit. And the way I view that is that some people, like I myself, I'm a Cancer with my sun and moon are both in Cancer. I have way more water in my astrological chart than any other element. Consequently, I'm a very emotionally based person. Somebody else who, say, is a Capricorn who has Saturn very strongly in their chart, which is the ruler of Capricorn, they're going to find themselves very mentally based. And mm-hmm. we have this tendency to, like for me, when I was younger, I had emotional reactions to everything. I would immediately experience something and go, yeah, I feel this. Well, instead of doing that, or instead of being more of a mentally based person and then overthinking everything, when we function from spirit, it allows us to think about what we feel and feel about what we think, and then in that quiet space, decide how we're going to respond to whatever situation it is that we're dealing with. So it's simple practices, like just taking the time to examine, what is it that I'm feeling about this situation? What do I think about it? And how do I unify those two into an action that's going to support both in moving forward? How can I
Right.
make my ego feel better about what we're experiencing? And how can I rationalize my way through this so that I can deal with this in an appropriate manner instead of having a gut reaction? It's very simple little processes like breathing that allow us to change our biochemical reactions to experience. That's all it takes to stop, take 10 deep breaths in and out, counting each breath in and out, and building that count so that if you took a count of five to inhale, take a count of five to exhale. The next time, inhale to a count of six and exhale to a count of six. Simple little things like oxygenating our body change our biochemistry. If we're feeling stress or fear, changing that biochemistry changes the chemical reactions in our body, and it allows us to deal with the experience in a different manner. So just finding our own sense of spirit is what I believe is should be one of our greatest tools and one of our greatest aspirations, to be able to live in this materialistic world with a spiritual perception. And when I say spiritual perception, I don't mean this through school. You don't have to be clairvoyant or clairaudient. All you have to do is breathe and choose consciously how you're going to respond to the things you're experiencing. It can be a very amazing process, just doing something simple every day, like keeping a dream journal, like you were saying, telling yourself at night before you go to bed, I'm going to wake up at such and such time. It might take you a day, it might take you 2 weeks, but if you do that every single night, you're going to start waking up without an alarm clock at exactly when you said you're going to or within minutes of it.
Right.
And that builds up your confidence that what you're doing is working.
And it's very easy. I mean, when I was first starting my practice, I would say my spiritual practice, with myself and really finding myself, there were certain things that I really felt helped me. One was a morning meditative walk where I didn't walk with anyone. It was just me, myself, and the universe and nature and connecting with Mother Earth and just breathing really deep and really appreciating and connecting with everything around me. And it really opened up different senses within me. The other thing that I used to always do, and I still do, is write in my journal. Usually first thing in the morning, and then right before I go to sleep. And it makes a difference. I mean, my journal, I have lots of dreams. If I wake up, I used to have dreams, like Ken said, that were just incredible. I had one dream that lasted 3 nights, and I woke up at 2 o'clock each night with the same dream, and I wrote down the details. That was the basis of one of my businesses, Abstract Illusions. This very show was a dream that I had 3 nights in a row, and I felt the presence of my grandfather who had recently passed. It started on his birthday, a year after he passed. So I just wrote it down. It is amazing the information you get, when you're sleeping. And another practice that I do before I go to sleep, is if there's any messages that I consciously need, make sure I remember consciously, physically in this realm. It is amazing the information I remember just because I asked to remember.
Right. It's very much like I was discussing with a friend today, the concept of, for example, he had at one point this huge collection of books. He had moved someplace and took all of his books with him, fell into massive hardship, and ended up leaving most of his books behind, and realized that he did not have a list of what those books were to replace them. And I suggested the possibility of utilizing hypnosis as a tool for recall. And he was like, oh, I can't afford a hypnotherapist. And I said, you don't need a hypnotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is calm your mind, quiet it, and think about those books. Visualize that bookshelf. Visualize and remember what books were on that shelf. Did you place them in an alphabetical order by author? If so, visualize seeing that shelf and just start writing down the titles as you go. You may not get them all the very first time you do it, but you're going to get several. And
right.
before long, you can have that full list of your books, or at least the ones that are the most prominent in your memory. Now, and one of the tools that you mentioned that I think is a very, very powerful tool when it comes to developing a spiritual practice is journaling. For
mm-hmm.
the main purpose of journaling, it's so, say, 3 months down the road, you can look at what you were writing and think about what you were experiencing, and things that may not have made a whole lot of sense 3 months ago, suddenly you see the pattern or the cycle that's been ongoing that you weren't able to see before, and you know
right.
where to make changes. So it's about conscious living. Simple as that. It's about consciously choosing what you're going to think about, focusing your intentions, just getting clear on what you do believe. Now, I have one client that I worked with that very cynical, very doubtful, had been very wounded by reality as far as he was concerned, but chose to just keep perpetuating that belief. It became his philosophy that the world was a lousy place to be and it was always going to take advantage of him. And I had to talk with him many, many times before he really realized that he was perpetuating and mm-hmm. manifesting exactly what he was thinking and putting and focusing his energy. If we focus on the negative, we manifest the negative. If we focus on the positive potential, we will manifest at least very close to what we were positively focused on, or experience something more wondrous.
Right. And that even if you are having a relationship or even a friendship, that's one thing that I've learned time and time again. If you think the very best of someone, you will get the very best out of them. If there's a shadow side, if there's lessons with that person, and the shadow pops up, you've got to be reality-based and see what they're doing and definitely stay in integrity with yourself. And if you've got boundaries, keep those boundaries. Be self-respectful in that sense.
Right.
But also, you know, if you start saying, wow, that person is, you know, and start really thinking negative things about them, or if you see the shadow before it shows up, you're going to manifest the shadow showing up just because you saw it and you mentioned it. So be really careful with your thoughts, especially now. Your thoughts
right.
are coming around and manifesting really, really quick. Now, can we do have Christina online too? Is it Christina or Chris? Is it Chris?
Hi, Jen. It's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Chris,
this is Ken.
Hi, Ken.
How are you tonight, Chris?
Very good. Thank you very much.
She's in Chandler, by the way.
Yes, I am.
Oh,
where are you at?
I'm over in Glendale.
Oh, okay. You're on the other side of the moon.
Yeah.
I don't get to Glendale too often. And you probably don't get to Chandler very often either.
No, actually, the last time I was in Chandler, I went to the Brazilian Steakhouse.
Okay. Well, it's on its way to Jen's house. I'm in the middle between you and Jennifer.
Yeah.
So, I really am enjoying this conversation that you and Jennifer have been carrying on. And then I started thinking about the Holy Spirit because I am a Christian. And then I started thinking about, Jennifer, your dream that you shared and about your grandfather and all that stuff. And then I remembered that the Holy Spirit reveals future events.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who, you know, I guess that's mysticism. If mysticism is what you're talking about, revealing truths, and all religions have mysticism. Even though I don't think the Christians call it mysticism, they call it intercessory. But, you know, that's all linguistics. But Samuel Samuel was anointed, and he was able to foresee the future and give prophecy. Is this the same that you're talking about?
Yes. Yes, very much. And even Jesus said that the miracles that he did, we too could do.
Yes.
Right.
It's all about, well, like, I recently, as a reverend, I was in Virginia, and I got to be a guest. I got to give a sermon and do a service at a Unity Church as their guest minister, as the guest reverend.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we discussed was how people talk about taking Christ into their heart as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
but they tend to function from their head, not their heart. So by having
which,
that Christ
which we would call that, the, what, the dogma?
Exactly.
Okay. And
so
okay.
If we function from the true Christ consciousness, that the Christ that we take into our heart, and we actually follow Christ's plan and his lesson, which was all about love. It was about expressing love. It was about trusting. It was about turning the other cheek. It was about finding that we are all divine beings. All of the miracles that he performed are ongoing all the time. There are people that are healing people by laying on of hands. There are people that prophesy. There are people that see realities for the future. All of that comes from one aspect, and that's just clarity within the self. And when we open
so
up
when,
to that Christ consciousness,
when we talk to people that have visions, and how do you separate, or is there just nothing? Like Jim says, there's no good or bad, there just is. There is what there is.
Right.
But then again, we always say, in the highest good for all. So, well...
That's an expression.
The photograph, like when I get a photograph or I get a vision, I have to check to see where that source comes from.
Most definitely.
How do you explain that? Because
well, for example, as a child, I was clairvoyant. So I would see energy around people. I would see pictures in their space. And as a child, I couldn't differentiate sometimes who it was coming from or what I was experiencing. So I couldn't be in large crowds of people because I was overwhelmed by all this awareness. And as I got older, I started to be able to go, well, wait a minute, is this my information or am I picking up on somebody else? Is this a divine-inspired thought and a gift from God? Or is this an entity messing with my mind, trying to lead me down another path? And the one thing that I found, and I found this at the age of 8 years old, I thought about this concept I was just talking about. Christ is in my heart. I believe in the Christ consciousness. I try and that concept of what would Jesus do? What would Jesus think? What would Jesus say about this situation? And I said, well, okay, if I'm getting these images and I'm not sure, I simply very clearly, in a very strong voice, said, unless this vision comes through the heart of Christ, it is not for me. And what I discovered was that a lot of times those visions would fade if
That's
they were
awesome.
Not.
That's
and
pretty
it,
powerful.
It really is. It is.
I know I'll sing songs that are very spiritual to eliminate negative energy, and sometimes I don't even realize that I'm singing them. They're in my subconscious, and then all of a sudden it's like they're in my conscious that I've been actually singing them, and I didn't even know it inside my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
there's a lot of power in music.
A lot of power.
There really, really is.
And
now, you
I
are
believe...
a quantum physic reverend. Is that
right?
Okay, and then quantum physics. Can you explain that better for me? I mean, I kind of grasp it more on the science fiction and sci-fi channel of what quantum physics is.
One of the things that I came to understand was that even as a young child, I would see that two different completely unrelated subjects had a connection, which for me was always the divine influence. And then I would start seeing that, like, for example, what most people call a mystical tradition it uses certain terminology. It describes the connection with the divine in a certain way. And it may not even say God, or it may not say divine, but it speaks about a unification, a oneness with the divine logos or the universe. And what I started seeing when I started studying different levels of physics was that there are laws of physics that directly relate to universal law. And those universal laws and those laws of physics are expressing the same thing with different terminology. So,
okay,
for example...
Yeah.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'm going to wait for your example first.
Okay, well, a really clear one is one that I just saw the other day on TV, and I'll give you a direct physical relation from my own experience. There's a commercial on TV right now that states a law of physics. A body at rest tends to stay at rest. A body in action tends to stay in action. Well, at one point in my life when I was experiencing some tremendous depression and feeling very unfulfilled and disconnected, my tools that I used for my own spiritual motivation didn't seem to work, and I found myself becoming complacent and indolent and lazy, and I was unmotivated. And then I had, literally, my parents had some need for their house to be taken care of, some work needed done, the yard needed taken care of. And I ended up going down, supposedly for a weekend, to do a little bit of work on the yard. And by the time I was done, I had moved almost 60,000 pounds of gravel and paver stones and completely redid their back patio and reorganized all of the storage inside their house, painted a room. And that action, that physical activity, put me in a different space. I had achieved and accomplished something when I hadn't felt like I had been accomplishing anything. So that axiom of a body at rest tends to stay at rest, and a body in action tends to stay in action. After that, I could no longer go back to sitting on my butt and watching TV or playing a video game. I needed to get up, clean the house, do the yard work, have some physical activity, and as long as I stay active, the depression is gone.
No, that's one reason why I kept doing the morning walks. It just gets the motivation and that habit. Number one, it's good exercise. And it's exercise, it moves the body, but it also moves spirit within you to keep you motivated and keep you really going forward in your path and your day and getting that air in your oxygen, you know, the air in your lungs to just in your whole body. So it's movement's incredible. And the more you move, it is amazing all the things that you can really start getting going in your life.
That's true.
There's a listener that doesn't have or cannot identify their purpose right now, and I'm going to tell them that their purpose is just to look and see what they can do as a volunteer and just to step out and take action. And that will put everything
right
into this year.
Right. Just by taking even the smallest action, somebody will approach you and ask you to help with something, and you'll find something that really inspires your heart and awakens your own Christ consciousness, and you'll find that purpose. I have a friend who's in Virginia who was for 2 years struggling with, how am I going to create an income? How am I going to manifest a business? How am I going to do this or do that? There's several books out there. There's a book, I can't remember the author, that's called A Purpose-Driven Life. There's all these self-help books. She had read all of them. And one day she was having a cup of tea, and she had started collecting different types of loose-leaf tea. And when she went to try and go find teas, she couldn't find very much of a variety of loose-leaf tea. And she realized one morning, bam, this is a niche. This is what's missing. And she took something that she was very passionate about and is turning it into a business. That's what our purpose is. Our
right.
purpose doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be life-shattering or world-altering, all it has to do is be something that inspires and impassions us to create change in our lives. If we're creating change and we're acting on our passion, we are following our divine purpose. We are living our Christ consciousness. So it can be something very simple that your life purpose is. And sometimes our life purpose isn't to make a lot of money at it, unfortunately, but it's to find
and it's okay for people to retreat and rejuvenate and take that sabbatical.
Oh, it's needed. It's necessary, especially these days, because there's a lot of people, a lot of spiritual light workers who have been going on overdrive for years and years and years. And then, you know, I know for me, that's one reason why I lost my business, because I'd been working 24/7 for 8 years solid. I mean, granted, I would go on vacation, but I'd still be working. And Spirit said, enough, you need a break. So I got it.
it was forced on you.
At the same time, I'm looking at the time, and time is up, believe it or not.
It's a fast hour, darling.
It just kept moving.
What is your website, sir? Are you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. You can find me. I'm just listed as Kenneth Roberts, and
okay.
I believe it's still from when I was in Tucson. But I definitely am always open to new friends and connections and finding new ways to express spirituality in our day-to-day life. So I look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a great night. Wow, is it truly that time already, Jennifer? Jennifer?
Yes, it really is that time. So any last thoughts on the subject?
Yeah, if I was going to leave with a parting phrase, it would definitely be to find a very simple practice for yourself, like getting up in the morning and taking that walk, which is good for your health. Our body is our temple. If we sit around on our butts all day, we're not really honoring our temple. So if you can get up and take a walk every day, begin to journal, start guessing who's on the phone when they call, and develop your intuition, find your spiritual self, and that will manifest the reality that you're truly wanting to experience.
The only thing I'd like to add to that is live through your heart, not your head.
Exactly. I used to always look for like-minded people, and I've decided that that's sort of one-sided. I need like-hearted people as well as like-minded
yes.
people. So yes. definitely open the heart and live fully through your heart.
And laugh. Do not
and
let
laugh
life
all the time.
Yeah, don't let life, especially these days, as I've said before, this is a giant cosmic joke in many ways, so laugh at yourself. It makes a huge difference in your day, and you know, check in with yourself.
It's not
this conversation is definitely worth continuing another time, Ken, if you're open to it.
I would love to.
It's something that is going on, but I think it was really cool that we had it on 11/11.
Yeah.
Because it is the energy that is going on now is really. Something that I suggest before you go to sleep tonight is take a few minutes and really think of what you really want your life to be, what you really desire, and imagine it, what it's going to be. Write it out even in your new journal that you're starting tonight. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just get a piece of paper. I use those line journals, the really easy one that you can buy at a store for like $2. It doesn't have to be a leather fancy one. It's just some kind of notebook that you can keep with you and write your thoughts down.
And this is the digital age. You can do it on your computer. You can do it into a voice recorder and listen to it later.
Yeah, and there's lots of free sites that you can have a journal online, and you can make it private so nobody else sees it, or you can even make it public. You never know. You might help somebody with what you're writing. Also, yeah. Blogging. Blog. That's something I do, and it's a lot of fun, and it's right in line on what I'm supposed to be doing. So lots of beautiful ways of doing it. So Kenneth Roberts, always enjoy your conversation. Usually take at least 2 hours on the phone when we talk, so this is kind of like cutting it in half.
It's nice to be able to share it.
Yes, it definitely is, because we definitely have some inspired conversations for sure. So
I may have to talk with you about getting my own on-the-air radio show.
Yes, we can arrange that, can't we, Zeph? Anyway, this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Until next time, many blessings and good night.